On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Sweet Tuesday morning, came a new smile.
Tuesday. Girl in the cut, she chooses.
Sun comes up, it's Tuesday morning.
Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Who could hang a name on you?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
All right, whatever.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. You know what it is. Stay away from it. Don't touch it. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. My God, it's got my name in it and everything. The reason my name is in the title is if it wasn't, I wouldn't know whose it was or what it was. So this way, I know. It's like I'm not here today, but I'm filling in for myself. I hope I get better, even though it's still me. Confusing, right? Hey, how you doing? It is a Tuesday. It's not yet hump day. It's a day before hump day. This is so stupid, I can't believe it. Man, we're in August. Can you believe it? The summer is more than half over, really. Kids are going back to school in about a month from now. Less than a month from now, they'll be back in the classroom, which is a joyous day for most adults. You don't want the kids roaming the streets all summer. It's not a good thing. Something can go wrong. It's bad enough that the adults are roaming the streets. You want the kids back in school during the day. That's the National Babysitter, is what we call school. I don't know how much you learn, but it gets them off your ass for the day. Don't argue with me, you know that's true. All right, fine, good, fine, wonderful. There was a commercial for, I think it was an office supply store, I don't know which one it was. And the mothers and the fathers are dancing down the aisles because they're shopping for school supplies. And that means that the kids are off their ass again, back in school, so that the parents can go about their lives without having to worry about their children running around like chickens with their heads cut off. Not that children are chickens with their heads cut off. It's just like they act like chickens with their heads cut off. By the way, what a horrible phrase that is. I think it means that you're running around aimlessly, and I think if you, the inference is if you cut the head off of a chicken, which you really shouldn't do, because it's not nice. It's just not nice. The chickens, because of their nervous system, will continue to run around even though they don't have heads. That's the most disgusting image I can think of. So whatever, what a strange phrase that is. Well, thanks for joining me. Hope you're comfortable. This won't take long. It's about a half hour show, give or take a couple of hours. So everything's fine. There'll be questions at the end. I hated that. When I went to school, and that was a long time ago. That was back in I think it was 12th century BC. 12th century. That's, BC. That doesn't mean anything, by the way. When were you born? 1969. B.C.? Okay, well, now you're older? Is that what that is? Anyway, the B.C. You know, our entire timeline is based on Christ. There was, before Christ, there was life, but we didn't start counting stuff. Then Christ came along, and we started counting the years. I don't know why. Before Christ, we don't. That was like 200 BC. Wow, it's not that Christ was the Son of God or anything. It's just that, like, actually marked time. I mean, wow, that's influential. That is influential. I don't care what you say. Jesus was a carpenter. No one talks about that. No one talks about that. Jesus is the Son of God. He led the people. He died for your sins. And that's a lot of dying, because I know you. You got a lot of sins. Yeah, but did you know he was a carpenter? No. Was he a good carpenter? I don't know. No one talks about it. How many times was Jesus sued because of bad carpentry work? Yeah, Jesus came into, we hired him to build a garage, and never came back, and the job was taking too long. We had to fire him. Really? Yeah, and then the garage we had to have it redone. It wasn't done right. Wow, I didn't know that part of it. Yeah, not a great carpenter, gotta tell you. Glad he switched positions there to become, you know, lead the people, because, carpentry-wise, you would figure. You'd figure he'd be a great carpenter, right? I mean, how could he not? But not so much. The winery, turning water into wine, that worked out. That was a good one. I kid. I'm not trying to demean I'm just trying to entertain you as best I can. Just like what ifs, you know. I'm just kidding around. Don't get upset about this. I'll tell you what I'm upset about. Ron, what are you upset about? Well, thanks for asking. Finally, my God, some kind of interaction. Here's what I'm upset about. I was watching television. That's not what upsets me. That's what I do all the time. Anyway, I was watching television. They had a commercial for Lincoln. Not the president, but the cars. Lincoln cars. Good cars. I like them. However, in the commercial, here's what happened, and it pissed me off. They have a woman behind the wheel of a Lincoln car, which is a fairly luxury kind of car, driving down the road. And then as she's driving, she remembers her childhood, and we see her as a little child on a bicycle. And she's riding her bicycle down the road, a similar road to where she's driving her Lincoln in later life. But we flash back to her on her bicycle, and all of a sudden she decides to take her hands off the handlebars. Don't do it! And the bike is constructed so that the bike doesn't waver. You know, the bike keeps going straight, even though she doesn't have her hands on the handlebars at all. And she finds this in this flashback in the commercial to be an exuberantly wonderful thing. Then she goes back to modern day life. She's behind the wheel in a Lincoln, and she, remembering her flashback from her taking her hands off of the bicycle as a child and having that to be such a wonderful experience, duh, stupid. She takes her hands off the wheel while she's driving the Lincoln car down the road. Don't ever take your hands off the wheel, you stupid bitch. Don't do that. There could be a car coming the other way. It could be my car, and you could, like, have a head-on collision. Don't take your hands off the wheels, you idiot. But apparently the Lincoln Motor Company says, oh, remember when you were a child and you had such a wonderful time taking your hands off the handlebars? No, I didn't do that ever. Well, now you can have that experience in our Lincoln cars. You don't have to keep your hands on the steering wheel. You should keep them nearby just in case, but you don't have to do that because they're kind of self-driving. Okay. All right. Look. No. That scared the hell out of me. And I started cursing the Lincoln Motor Company. Like, what are you doing? You're encouraging people to buy cars where you don't have to put your hands on the steering wheel anymore? Well, not if you're going straight. The car will continue to go straight because of the markings in the road and all that stuff. I don't like it. Look, stop with the self-driving cars. Let me tell you something, you little bastard. I, in my car, have cruise control. That means that I can watch a Tom Cruise movie on the screen in my car, and it's okay to do. No, that's not what cruise control means. I can take my foot off the gas pedal, and the car will continue to go at that speed. To stop the car from going at that speed, I simply put my foot a little bit on the brake, and it disengages the cruise control. I've never used it because it's stupid. I'm driving the car. Stop with the cruise control crap. I mean, am I so freaking lazy that I want to take my feet off the pedals and walk around the car to get a sandwich or something? And I never use cruise control. Not that it scared the hell out of me. It's just so stupid. But now the Lincoln Motor Company says not only can you take your foot off the gas with cruise control, you can take your hands off the steering wheel because you remember when you were a child you liked doing it on your bicycle. Well, fuck you. I don't want people taking their hands off the steering wheel at all. This is what is called a self-driving car. Now look, I can understand the Roomba vacuum cleaners where you don't have to vacuum your rug, the robot will do it. You don't have to do it anymore. Look, that's fine, I don't care. But cars, no, they're death machines. Do you understand what cars are? They're 5,000 tons. I don't know how heavy they are. They're 5,000-ton cars. They're weapons. If you hit one of them or they hit you, you're basically dead or, like, just done for life if you happen to survive. No, don't screw around with that crap. You got these big weapons rolling down the road. Stop with your self-driving stuff. How freaking lazy do you have to be? Well, Ron, let me explain something to you. Ron, listen to me. It's safer to have self-driving cars than to put the cars in the hands of human beings. Look, I get that because human beings suck, basically. You can't trust them to do anything. However, we need to be in control of these weapons at all times. Also, it's supposed to be fun to drive. It's supposed to be fun. Not to take your hands off the steering wheel. That's not fun. That's just stupid. You're going too fast. And here's the problem, and I've said it before in the show 10,000 times. I've counted how many times I've said this. Stop making life too simple. Stop it. Stop making life too convenient, too easy. Stop it. Do you know your ancestors, born like 3000 BC, before Cadillacs, they used to churn their own butter?
Well, I don't have to I don't even know how to churn butter. I don't understand that. I just go to the supermarket and buy a tub of butter.
Yeah. Okay, I get that, sort of. It takes a long time to make butter. I mean, you'd be waiting until like 3 o'clock in the morning to have dinner. I get that. But do we have to have self-driving cars? Do we have to have food delivery services pick up food for us? I mean, unless you're disabled, There's no reason to do that. You don't have a moment to go to the supermarket? What are you, stupid? We're making life way too easy for ourselves. Don't do it. You don't understand. That's not what life is. You're supposed to be motivated and do stuff, not to sit on your ass and have everything brought to you so you don't have to make a move ever. That's not healthy. It's just stupid. This is what society is doing to itself. Not only are we ruining the planet, we're ruining ourselves. Self-driving cars? What the hell's wrong with you? So, damn you, Lincoln, damn you. However, you know, all the car companies eventually will do the self-driving thing, and I don't know why. Let me explain something else to you. It's not really known what happens when your self-driving car gets in an accident. I think, from the research that I've done on the Google machine, you're still responsible, because it's your car and you were in it. You decided to let it self-drive. You're responsible for the accidents and for the death of other people should that occur. Well, the computer failed on my self-driving and I smashed into another car. It's not my fault. Whose fault is it then? It's yours. Are you the owner of the car? Well, yes, I am. Well, then it's your fault. Watch your auto insurance go up. No, Ron, it'll go down. No, it'll go up. Because we're going to put these things on the road before they're perfected, and you know that's the case. The Tesla people, come on, a good example. Don't trust them. The Hindenburg, that was supposed to work. Oh, the humanity, not so much. Not seeing a lot of big blimps riding around, are you? I got to go to work. The blimp's going to pick me up in 6 minutes. We don't do that. We don't do that. We have autopilot on planes. Yeah, we do. But we got the pilots up there, even though maybe they're taking the hands. There isn't a lot of traffic up there. You know, it's not like there's another plane coming at you all the time or a solid white line there on the road. It's the air. Okay, fine. I get that. Self-driving cars coming at me. Nobody's behind the wheel? I don't think so. Here's what scares me already. Short people in cars. They shouldn't be allowed to drive for many reasons. Short people whose heads don't even go above the dashboard or the seat that they're sitting in, it looks like it's a self-driving car. Wait a minute. There's nobody driving that car. Yes, there is. It's just a very short person. What is it, the torso? Yeah, the short torso thing. It looks like nobody's driving, but somebody is. How can they see above the dashboard? I don't know. I don't know how they do it, but I don't see anybody driving the car. But there's a short person driving it. Okay, good, but I don't see him, so it doesn't make me comfortable. When I was younger, when I was very tiny, my parents used to put a couple of phone books on the chair at the kitchen table so I could be high enough to sit there. Otherwise, the height of the table would be like equal to my nose, and that wasn't effective. So they made me sit on phone books because they were creative, and that's how they did it. That's what we need to do for very short people in cars with no torsos. Put phone books down. But then we can't reach the pedals. All right. Well, you got problems then. You got problems. Self-driving cars. Look, I hope I live forever, but not that long, because I don't want to go through that. I just don't. If I get nervous seeing a car go down the road and there's nobody driving it because they're really short, how nervous am I going to be if all the cars are driving down the road and there's nobody driving them? There's people sitting in the driver's seat, but they're like macrame-ing or cooking dinner or something like that. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Life is too easy. get up off your ass and do something. Everything being automated is not a good idea. Not for you, not for anybody. I have a guest coming up momentarily, but first we're going to do a commercial break because someone has to pay for this. You apparently have demonstrated that that's not something that you do. Do you like karaoke? Me too.
Ready for your next good time out with friends? Then come to karaoke night at that bar near your house. Grab the mic and belt out your favorites, or grab a drink, sit back, and enjoy the show. You'll see things like 12 drunk girls singing Love Shack, all in different keys. Check out the nice old lady who only performs Patsy Cline tunes, and her gray-haired gentleman partner, who apparently only knows Sinatra. Feel the love and warmth of a heartfelt ballad sung by a young man with a beautiful soprano voice who hasn't come out to his parents yet. Thrill to frat boys jacked up on tequila shots and Red Bull trying to pull off 90s gangster rap, or that Fall Down, Get Up Again song by Chumbawamba. And clap along to that one girl who auditioned for American Idol once, singing like she's auditioning for American Idol. All this and more musical notes never before performed by a human voice at karaoke night at that bar near your house. Not too far to drive, just a little too far to walk. We'll see you there.
Catherine Williams joins us now, National Geographic Kids editor. And it's the weird but true series from National Geographic. And this is all about sharks. Ever since the movie Jaws, we've had a fascination with sharks, both kids and adults, right?
Oh, yeah. People cannot get enough of sharks. As you can tell from the Shark Week, Shark Fest, all happening yes. every summer, people can't get enough.
And Sharknado. Don't forget Sharknado.
Sharknado. Fun fact, which I have lots of, there are sharks that live inside of a volcano, hammerheads that swim around in the water inside of a volcano.
Oh, my God.
Not a tornado, but a volcano.
A volcano.
That's real.
How do they survive in that type of temperature?
I don't know. I don't remember the details of it. I think maybe that part isn't like quite as hot as the magma in the volcano, and they've just been living there for generations.
This is a lot of fun, and it's just loaded with different facts and pictures and all that kind of stuff. Famous National Geographic in that sense. What led you to edit this type of subject matter?
Well, I love the Weird But True books. I have edited other ones, the Weird But True Dinosaurs, and our readers love sharks, so they love Weird But True, they love sharks, so we decided to give them, you know, what they want, and that's 300 shark facts. And I work with a team of writers and researchers and photo researchers who help me put the book together.
Crazy stuff. Now, tell me, give me some of those facts that would tantalize us toward this.
So one of my favorites is I learned a lot about the Greenland shark, which is this large shark that lives very far north in very cold waters. And what's cool about the Greenland shark is a lot of things, but one is that they can live to be over 200 years old. Some of them think they live to be 500 years old. So they're very, very ancient. And it takes them about 150 years just to kind of reach adulthood. And they also swim really, really slowly. So they swim less than 2 miles an hour. So I like to imagine them for 500 years just kind of chilling out in the ocean.
Wow.
Moving very, very slowly.
I see one of the facts here, which is it's astonishing me, is that sharks actually have tiny teeth covering their eyeballs. Is that true?
Yes, some of them do. So sharks have all kinds of weird, all sharks have like these different ways of protecting their eyeballs. So some of them have eyelids. Some of them have like a clear coating over their eyes, like a clear eyelid. And whale sharks don't have eyelids at all. So they have these very, very tiny teeth all over their eyes. That protects their eyes while they're swimming. It's very, very strange, weird but true.
Wow. Now, sharks existed at the time of dinosaurs, I guess?
Yeah, sharks have been around for a really, really long time. They swam alongside dinosaurs. They survived all of the mass extinctions that Earth has had. Uh-huh. And we have some cool illustrations of what people think prehistoric sharks look like. I mean, there's the Megalodon, which is the most famous prehistoric shark that is absolutely gigantic. And we have some other cool prehistoric sharks in the book as well. Some of them were like skinny and looked like eels. One of them had this fin on its back that looked like an ironing board. So it had this like flat top. It's very, very strange looking. So sharks have been around for a really long time. They're clearly doing something right because they've survived this long. So yeah, they're very cool.
Wow. Another fact here that's listed is that sharks don't blink at all.
Yeah, so they can close. Some of them who have eyelids, as we mentioned, there's a lot of shark eye facts. They're very weird. Some of them can close eyelids, but they don't really blink like we do because they swim around in water. They don't need to keep their eyes moist. So they'll mostly close their eyelids if they're eating and they don't want food to get in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Or some of them can't blink, like can't close their eyes at all. So like a great white shark will roll its eyes into the back of its head.
Oh, so does my wife.
It needs to protect its eyes.
Yeah, my wife does that too. and for good reason, probably. Okay. What is the target age group for the book?
So we're targeting 8 to 12-year-olds, middle school kids, especially kids who are reluctant readers and want something to get them really excited about learning and doing a little more research and being curious about the world. But I think adults and kids of all ages.
Yeah, there's no question about it, Catherine. With most of the National Geographic Kids series, which are obviously it's got the word kids in it, I find that adults probably would say, get out of the way, kid. I want to read this because, it's fascinating stuff that adult, you know, man, this is what really draws us. I think we should drop the kids thing and just make it for everybody because that's what it is.
Totally. I learn so much every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Catherine, now this isn't part of the conversation, but you working on something else right now?
I'm always working on something else. We are working on a new series, another Weird But True book, but way, way bigger, A Weird But True World that is like a collection of the weirdest places in every continent around the world.
Wow.
I'm also working on a book about octopuses that I'm really enjoying right now. So there's a lot of stuff in the works. I work on more than just ocean animal books, but that's going into summer what I'm excited about.
Yeah. See, you're in the business of conversation pieces is what you are, because if all you got to do is start talking about this and people will talk to you for hours and hours. It's just, you know, that's what it is. You know, they used to have things called coffee table books where they put them out on a coffee table. I don't have coffee tables anymore, I don't think. But people would just put the books on there and that would start up conversations that would never end. And this whole series is like that. It's just starts conversations and never stops.
Yeah, that's the hope.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Well, I'm learning more about these things than I ever did in school, which I don't know if that's a good thing to say or not, but it's true. I mean, this is fascinating stuff. All right. Where do I get a hold of these books and the series and the whole thing?
You can find our books online, online retailers, or in most bookstores you can find our books. We have this very bright yellow spine, so they really stick out, you can't miss them.
That's wonderful. I understand you live in Washington, D.C., which is the home base for strange and interesting things, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, I do. I do.
Okay.
The White House is just a couple blocks from our office.
Really? Wow, that's kind of like fascinating in itself.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Okay. What an interesting life you lead, Catherine. I'm telling you. Okay. One more time, a website we can visit?
You can visit natgeokids.com for more info about sharks and our book and all things Nat Geo Kids.
Cool. I mean, it's definitely something you should have in your house and read it with your kids, and you can both be astounded. And that's a bonding situation, and that's what we're looking for here. Catherine, thank you so much for your time today. Yeah. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program, and that'll be the hump day thing, huh? Yeah, I don't even know what that means. But until that time arrives, don't make things too easy for you. Get up off your ass and do something. I wish you peace.